16th chapter of the book of St. John. Let's read just a little bit here. Talk about the word of the Lord tonight. A lot of nights we minister, we get into Revelation. Some of you hear what I say and you understand to some extent what I say. But you know, a lot of times you don't know why that I'm saying it or what the purpose of it is. Other than the fact you say, well, it's to win us to God or to help us to live a Christian life. There's a lot more meaning, seasonally speaking, than you could ever be able to get a hold of. There are certain things said at certain times for your benefit and my benefit. Things said at certain times for God's benefit, though it's all together for our good. So I illustrated the other day, I might come up to you and I might call your name and I might say, here's your nice automobile. You might see me, see the automobile. You might admire the beauty of the automobile. You might be fascinated to the extent you walk over and put your hands on the automobile. So you know what I said. You know what you see. You know that it's there. But on the other hand, if I should walk away, you would probably be left standing there thinking, well, I wonder why that he gave me this car. And I wonder what's behind this. And I wonder what he intends for me to do with this automobile. What's all of this about? And that's the way it is. You know, you may hear, you may see, you may know to a certain extent. But a lot of times the purpose of why God does a thing at a certain time, you may not see it at all. Reading from the book of St. John, chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me again. And a little while ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among them, says, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. These that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You'll notice Jesus used the terms in the third verse of the 17th chapter, and this is life eternal. You know, we want life eternal. The one thing that we want is life eternal. Jesus testifies in the second verse of the 17th chapter that I have power over all flesh. I can give life eternal to as many as I want to. He says here, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee. You know, it is made manifest here in these writings that if a person doesn't know the Holy Spirit, he doesn't have life eternal. That there is no eternal life in what a man says. That there is no eternal life in what a preacher preaches. Or there is no eternal life in what some minister promises to you because you affiliated yourself with his program or his church. There's no life eternal in going to church. There's no life eternal in paying tithe or giving offerings. There is only one eternal life, and that is God, the great eternal spirit. And to be one with the eternal spirit is to have eternal life. To know the eternal Father as a spirit in relation to your spirit is to have life eternal. And if you do not know the Holy Father in relation to your spirit, then you do not have life eternal. That is why Jesus uses the terms that unless the Spirit of God is within you, that you do not have eternal life. That if you have not my Spirit, then ye are none of mine. You may be a believer and you may be active in the congregation, but if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not have eternal life. Eternal life is the Spirit of Christ. And when that eternal Spirit or eternal life enters into your spirit, then you have eternal life. But if that eternal Spirit or eternal life, which is Christ, if it does not find a lodging place within your spirit, then you do not have eternal life. Christ in you is the only hope of life. Christ in you is the only hope of glory. If you do not have the Christ in you, you do not have eternal life. Though you may be a believer, you still do not have the seal of His Spirit and approval upon your spirit. The approval of God is Christ. Christ is the only thing that God ever approved. He is God's seal of approval. The kings of old had their ring, which was their seal of approval. When that ring was put upon anything that they wrote to send out, then it was approved. If that seal was not upon that thing that had been sent out, then it was not approved of the king. Therefore, Jesus is the approval of God. He is God's seal. And when you receive the seal of His holy name, our spirit, then you have been approved of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, that is Christ's Spirit, whereby thou art sealed, that is in your spirit. Your spirit is sealed unto the redemption of your body or that great day when God shall come back to claim the body. Just like Sister Betty, Brother Vince's wife, she's dead. She's passed on. So far as the world is concerned, she's passed on. When God calls for her, if she does not have the seal of the Spirit of Christ, He will not bring her forth in the first resurrection. He will not bring her forth unto eternal life. She will not live again until after the tribulation period and after the 1,000 years is finished. And then she will come forth with the wicked dead to be thrown into the lake of fire. Or cast into the lake of fire. But if she died in the faith, if she has the seal of God's approval, if she has the Christ seal, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Seal, then God will bring her forth in the first resurrection, and she will live eternally, have eternal riches, eternal blessings, eternal splendor, eternal youth, and she'll never suffer anymore. It is of the greatest of importance that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. One writer asked in the 19th chapter of Acts, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Though you may be a believer, but have you received the seal of God's Spirit? God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision as a seal. He said, this is a seal unto you and your tribe, which was symbolic of the great Holy Spirit, that if we were to be circumcised in heart, that the old way of life be taken out and the new way of life be put in. That is, if that you were born with was taken out, which is death, that spirit of Satan that you got through the fall in your birth, if that is taken out and then the old veil of death done away with, then the new spirit of life, even Christ, is sealed. Comes into your spirit, and when it comes into your spirit, it seals your spirit unto eternal life. That is, it is, you become clean and holy, and His Spirit becomes interwoven inside of your spirit, and His Spirit and your spirit together becomes one spirit. Even the great seal to where nothing can infiltrate your spirit. Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. The only way to know the Father is that you know Him through Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him through Jesus Christ, you do not know Him at all. For to know Christ is to know God. To believe in Christ is to believe in God. To be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is to become a part of the God family. The Bible said, repent every one of you and be baptized, that is in water, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of Christ the Spirit or the Holy Ghost. If you do not be baptized in Jesus' name, you have no right to the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that some people receive the Holy Spirit before they're baptized in Jesus' name. Because the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore they receive the Holy Ghost before they are baptized. Down at Cornelius's, Peter said, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we have, who can forbid water that they should not be baptized? Therefore he commanded every one of them, even though they had received the Holy Ghost, that they should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So then I say again that we are baptized in water, the burial, that is the grave, the death of Jesus. We are baptized in His name because it is His death. Tonight, the girl that is dead, that's up at the morgue tonight, if you was to be baptized into her death, you'd have to be baptized into her name. You couldn't just say, baptize me in the name of daughter. You couldn't just be baptized in the name of her father. You couldn't be baptized in the name of her brother. You couldn't be baptized in the name of her husband or her children. Not and be baptized into her death. When ministers take a person and they baptize them by saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is what Matthew said that they were to do. When somebody takes you, puts you down into the water, and they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if they do not call the name of Jesus, they lied to you because they did not baptize you in the name of the Father. They did not baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost. They did not baptize you in the name of the Son of God. Because the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. It is made very plain that Matthew 28 is talking about the name of Jesus. For Jesus, after that He was resurrected from the dead, stood there and said, go ye into all the world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, for all power in heaven and earth belongs to me. It is given to me. Therefore, go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Again, I say that Peter, the 11 apostles, Judas having committed suicide, the 11 apostles went straightway to the upper room. For God had told them to tarry till they be endued with power from on high. There they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Peter stood up, lifted his voice up above the others, and he said, this is that the prophet Joel said would come to pass in the last days. I will pour out of the Holy Ghost, or I will pour out of my Spirit, he termed it. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. On my servants and on my handmaidens in those days, I will pour out of my Spirit, saith God, and they shall prophesy. Now, Peter said, repent every one of you, I've been with Jesus. I was there when he spoke that which Matthew 28 recorded. I was there. Jesus spoke these things. Peter said, I'm the chief apostle, in the sense that Paul said, I'm not a whit behind the chiefest apostle. I was there. I'm the chief apostle. The keys to the kingdom was given to me. I'm the one that opened the door to the Jews. I'm the one that at Cornelius' house, I opened the door to the Gentiles. He said, repent every one of you. Listen to me, Peter said. I am the one that was there when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Repent every one of you, for I am fixing to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Repent every one of you and be baptized in that name, which is the name of Jesus Christ, and that for the remission of sins. And the Bible said he baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And all of the other apostles that was there when Matthew recorded that 28th chapter, all of those that was with Peter stood up and said, amen. This is the way he said it. Therefore, it is obvious that those that are going about through the world baptizing people anyway except in the name of Jesus, whether they are doing it willfully or whether they are doing it ignorantly, it is still wrong. It is wrong because there is no remission of sin in the word Father. There is no remission of sin in the word Holy Ghost. There is no remission of sin in the word Son. The Bible says that ye shall be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That is, it is his death. It is his name that must be called to number you with the grave that he lay down in. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For the Bible said there is remission of sin in none of the name except the name of Jesus Christ. That is, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that died for sin. It was not anyone else that died for sin. It was not the Holy Ghost that died for sin. It was not the Father that died for sin. It was the Son of God that died for sin, that was made flesh, and it was Jesus the Christ, in whose name is remission because it was his death. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood, and it was Jesus' blood that was shed. Therefore, the remission is in Jesus' name. To identify that blood, you must call a name. And when you call that name, it is the name of Jesus because it is his blood. Therefore, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall find remission of sin and shall be saved. That's why that the writer, or that is the preacher in the New Testament, said to Paul the apostle, said, Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins by calling on the name of Jesus. That is the proper way to call upon the name of Jesus. You don't just call on the name of Jesus and say, Lord, save me, and God saves you. That isn't the way you get saved, because the Bible said that Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and did not find a place of repentance. It is obvious that you could call on the name of Jesus all day long and not find repentance. The Bible said, not everyone that saith Jesus, O Lord, Lord, shall be saved. That is not the way you get saved. But he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. I am the will of the Father. I am the Word made flesh. The Father has said, repent and be baptized in my name for the remission of sin. Then you are in the will of the Father. He that is in me and I that am in he. That is, if you are in the name Jesus, then you are in the will of the Father, for He is the manifested will of the Father. If you have the Spirit of Christ within you, then that Spirit that cries, my Father, when it gets inside of you, it will also cry, Abba Father, Abba Father. This is the Spirit of Christ. So then, if you're baptized in the name of Jesus, then the Bible said you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many people then should be baptized in the name of Jesus? Should it just be the people at Little Bethlehem? Should it just be a group of people that call themselves some kind of a denomination? The Bible says that remission of sin shall be taught in the name of Jesus, beginning at Jerusalem, and then it would spread across by world evangelism into all the world. Said beginning at Jerusalem, and then into all of the earth, said remission of sin shall be preached in the name Jesus. So then, having begun in Jerusalem when Jesus was born there in a manger, having begun there in Jerusalem, Paul the apostle and the other great leaders preaching baptism in Jesus' name, now it is spread throughout the world. And Peter said, the promise of this great Holy Ghost is upon you, and it's to your children, and to me, as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So then, if you are called of God tonight, you are called to do one thing, that is repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus, calling on the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the great seal, the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life. And if you have not His Spirit, then you are none of His. If ye have received the Holy Ghost, as it was down at Cornelius's, it is because God saw that you would be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. For the Bible said, the Holy Ghost shall guide you into all truth and all righteousness. And when Jesus was being baptized, He said, John, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So then, baptism being a part of righteousness, the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of Christ will cause you to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Knowing that this is the Word of God and they are not baptized in the name of Jesus, it is because they do not have the Holy Ghost. Now, they may feel the presence of God, but the Bible said that God would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. If the Spirit of God comes upon all flesh, then all flesh could feel the presence of God. But that does not mean that you have eternal life. You must call upon the name of Jesus, washing away your sins. Why did the writer use the terms, Paul, wash away your sins? Because the Bible also uses the term, the days of Noah, that those people that were saved by water. He said, a like figure whereunto ye are also saved. And then Jesus said, lest ye be born of the water and of the Spirit, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. A birth comes by water and Spirit and blood. Therefore, there is blood at Calvary, and there is water to be baptized in, and there is the Spirit that brings life, that it might not be a still birth. So then, you are baptized so that you can wash away your sins. That is, because you have called upon the name of Jesus, that is, Jesus Christ's blood at Calvary remitted your sins. They are passed for the Father's sake through the mercy and forbearance of God. And you are made heir to that blood atonement by being numbered with Him in death. And when you lay down in death, you are washing away your sins, because you are saying, I am numbered with Calvary. That was me that was smitten at Calvary. I am dead at Calvary by the body of Jesus. Therefore, I am buried in this water as proof that this is my identity. I am identified with Him. If you do not be baptized or identified with Jesus in water baptism in the grave, then you have no proof that your faith is in Calvary. You may say, I believe in Calvary, but you don't have any proof of that, because the proof of it is that we receive whatever we ask in His name. Therefore, calling upon the name of the Lord, asking God to save us through the name, all we have to do is do what He commanded us to do, and then we are saved by the blood of Jesus. If we are not buried with Him in the watery grave, we have not washed away our sins, because the Bible said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you, speaking to the preachers, that whosoever sins you remit. If the remission of sin is by the shedding of the blood, then that means the minister of righteousness who preaches the New Testament, that is the blood atonement of Jesus, that he hath the power to put you in the water, to call the name of Jesus over you, to bury you in the water, washing away your sins, or by the name of Jesus, identifying you with the blood atonement and the death of Jesus, by that means the preacher hath the right to remit your sins. But the Bible said, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the Bible says, I give unto you the power to remit sins. Whosoever sins ye remit shall be remitted. Said, whosoever sins ye retain shall be bound to them or retained. So then, it is a true fact, as the preacher said to Paul, Paul the great revelator, Paul that knew the Bible, Paul that sat at the feet of Gamaliel, Paul that was blameless so far as touching the law, Paul that was a Pharisee that believed in the resurrection, he said, Paul, you still need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So then he said, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that is what the preacher told him. But if you'll remember, as he walked along that road, that great light shined around and about him, and this voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou? He said, I am the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul. You go to the street called Straight, and he'll tell you what I want done. So you see, it wasn't just the man telling Paul to be baptized in the name of Jesus. That wasn't it at all. It was Christ himself telling him to go over to the man that would do what he wanted him to do. And so then when we think of this, we realize the importance of it. The 19th chapter of Acts, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, well, we've not even so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, then what kind of baptism have you used? Under what then was you baptized if you've not received this gift that was promised? They said, under John's baptism. He said, the Holy Ghost wasn't promised when you're baptized under John's baptism. He said, that was the baptism under repentance. So then maybe you've repented. Maybe many of you have repented. I'm sure that you have. But he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said, though they had been baptized, they had not been baptized according to the remission of sin. So then he rebaptized them in the name of Jesus, and they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Philip and Peter, Acts 10 and 8, it's the same. For when Philip was down there in Samaria, they had not yet been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus after preaching two things to them: the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. If I preach to you tonight, I must preach two things. I must preach that the kingdom of God is at hand, and God wants you to have that kingdom, and that the kingdom of God is within a man's heart, and that the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God has been preached.
Repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you may receive the gift of this Holy Ghost, which is Christ the Spirit, the kingdom of God. So then the Bible said that they had been baptized in the name of Jesus after hearing this, and then he sent Paul the apostle to come down, lay hands on them, that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Cornelius says, they received the Holy Ghost, and then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And I say again that nowhere in the Old Testament was there anybody that was ever baptized in any other way except in the Red Sea unto Moses and in the cloud unto Moses, which was water and spirit, the Holy Ghost baptism being the cloud but day without the fire, the Holy Ghost or the fire baptism, the atonement of blood being the cloud by night, which was the fire that's likened unto blood, and the Red Sea being the baptism that they were receiving water. The Lord divided it up by using Jordan as the water baptism, the Red Sea as the blood atonement, and the cloud by day as the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So they were baptized unto Moses, which was the prophet, or that one that spoke of the coming of Jesus, saying that God shall raise up a prophet, that is Jesus, a prophet like unto me, and it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And what did that prophet say? Paul said, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest, the prophet like unto. He said, Paul, go to the street called Straight. Let the man tell you what to do to be saved. And it shall come to pass that if the Baptist fails to hear that, or the Methodist fails to hear that, or the Catholics fail to hear that, or the Pentecostals fail to hear that, then they shall be cut off from among the people. So then the only entrance into eternal life is to do what the prophet likened to Moses said. Remission of sin is in the name of Jesus. Go into all the world and baptize them in my name, Jesus said. And Peter did exactly that. He and the apostles heard the words of Jesus, and they went and baptized in his name. All of them of the New Testament did that. All in the Old Testament baptized unto the name. Even John that came before Jesus baptized them under repentance, saying, believe on the name when the name comes. So when Paul come in Revelation 19, they were baptized, rebaptized in the name for the remission of sin. Now, I've said this before, they continued to baptize that way until 325 A.D. when the thing was changed around, and when the Nicene Creed, or those that was in the days of Constantine, changed the whole thing around, not having any spiritual revelation, and the Catholic Church completely swallowed up the world, Martin Luther starting the Protestant churches as a branch off from the Catholic Church, all of them baptized in the titles because God blinded them that they might not understand until they come to the name Jesus. There is no remission of sin in any other name. You can call all the names you want to. There's no remission in those names. And the only way to use the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, the Bible said, be baptized for the remission, calling on the name. Therefore, that is the only way. If the minister must remit your sins by baptism, then he must do it by water. And if he is to use that which remission is in, it is in the name of Jesus. He must baptize you for the remission of sin because he has the power to remit from the Bible. He's given that power. He has the authority to do it because it is for the remission, in that the sins are gone through the blood of Jesus, in that you're to be identified with him in the suffering and the death. And he is to baptize or remit your sins, as we say, by the water. So then, water is for the remission of sin. Remission is in the name, and the authority to remit is the minister. So then, those three things put together, the minister taking his authority, he baptizes you because he has the power to remit your sins. He baptizes you in the name of Jesus because the only way that he can have the authority to do it is by using the name in which remission is found. And he does it, as we say, by water, because you are baptized for the remission of sins, or, as the writer said, washing away your sins. So then you see, eternal life is in Jesus. And this is the only eternal life that there is. That is, that ye should know the Holy Father and His Son Christ. If you do not know the great Holy Spirit, which is God, and that through the sufferings or blood atonement of His Son Jesus, you do not have eternal life. Therefore, all that I can preach is those two things, the Father and Christ Jesus. Or that is to say, the name of Jesus and the kingdom of God, which is the Spirit of Christ. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, receive the kingdom of God. For men press their way into it. The law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom of God has come unto you, and ye should repent of your sins and receive ye your inheritance. For the kingdom of God is an inheritance. And the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit or receive the kingdom of God. If you are carnal, if you are fleshly, you cannot receive it. But if you repent of your sins, and if you are dead by the body of Jesus, it is not you living, but it is a spirit living. For he that is born of spirit is spirit. Therefore, a spirit can inherit the Christ spirit or the kingdom of God. So then, the Bible said, we are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell within you, and if you have not his spirit, you're none of his. And if this spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, God shall also by this spirit quicken your mortal genes, your mortal body by the Spirit of Christ that dwells within you. Christ within you, the hope of glory. I'd like for you to stand with me if you will. I've not held you very long tonight. Somehow I just felt to exhort you concerning eternal life. The greatest possession that you have, friend, is eternal life. If you don't have eternal life, you don't have anything. Because, as I said earlier, the sister that has laid down to rest, to sleep, the Bible said, and they fell upon sleep. The sister that has laid down to sleep, if she did not have eternal life, then she did not lay down to sleep. She died because her spirit departed from the everlasting Holy Spirit. But if she did have God's Spirit, eternal life, then her body just got tired and weary because of afflictions. Because of the conflict of the body, any little old thing can get the physical being or your physics out of order. And when it does, then there's just a little complication in the brain. Don't act right, you go insane. Maybe one little old brain cell gets damaged up here and you go insane. Just because the brain won't function right. Or you can get demon-possessed and go insane. Or you can have a little affliction in your body, maybe your arm or legs, and you can take paralysis. You can take cancer. You can have a little problem with your lungs, and you can, all of a sudden, you can take TB. Any little thing that happens to your body, just one little old thing, can cause the entire body to quit functioning properly, and then a little complication and you're dead. The flow of the blood messed with it just a little bit. Get a little poison in the bloodstream. Let a snake pop those fangs in you.
just like a hypodermic needle that pours and shoots out through that little old needle of a thing called fangs. That pours and comes out into your bloodstream and it races to your heart and you're dead. Or get a little food poisoning or anything and you're dead. It's like my son-in-law Dale. Called back from Norfolk, and he was in a dying condition. And he had food poisoning and hepatitis. They had him in isolation. It could have killed him. They said it was very dangerous, that he was in danger of death. Quick death, because it goes straight to your heart when it hits your blood. But the prayers of the saints, the Lord heard it, intervened. They called back, said Dale was laughing and talking to his wife, feeling fine. So then I felt like that God was answering our prayer to help get him out of the Navy. But I said that to say this, poisoning is deadly. That's what's wrong with the world today. They've got food poisoning. Spiritual food poisoning. They've eaten dirty food. And they've eaten things that God didn't intend for them to eat. People today are eating everything from snake to snail. God in the Old Testament had an outline of natural food. Things that was natural that man should eat. Those things were a type of the spirit today. The natural Jew, the spiritual Jew. The natural food, the spiritual food. Therefore, people have as a whole food poisoning. They've got a hold of dirty things that preachers have fed them. And they are in a spiritual dying condition. Spiritually speaking, it's a dying condition. But I'm thankful tonight that we've got good food at Bethlehem. And that there is still people in the world today, ministers that love Jesus. And they are preaching the right thing. And they are serving the right thing. And a church like a restaurant, those that go to the places that are right get the right kind of food. But you know what gets people in trouble? They get drunk. They get doped up. They're not at themselves. They don't know whether they're eating hair or whether they're eating filth or what they're doing. I've known of people at restaurants to spit in the plate just to get a kick out of it. And somebody sat down and just slopped it up like a pig. Never know the difference. Get a person like that upset, you know, a waitress, she'll just take it back and spit in it and bring it back and laugh and laugh and laugh. That's bad, isn't it? That's the way it is with the world today. They're drunk. The people are drunk. The Bible said those that be drunken, usually they're drunken in the night. They are drunken in the carnal reasoning of darkness. They're drunken in the night. And they don't know what's going on. They don't know whether a preacher's right or whether he isn't. All they know is that if he's a preacher and if he'll give them a good feeling of consolation, making them think that when they breathe their last breath that they're going to be all right, while they'll give him their money and they'll go foolishly on eating at that cafe, as we say, and eating from that table and giving him the money. But they're drunken. They're drunken off of lust and the desires of evil doings. Gullible toward the things that are on television. They sat under the TV. They're spellbound by the evil spirits that pours poison into their system. Magazines, love stories, books, newspapers, jokes, conversations, gossip, backbiting, all of these things, demons pouring poison into their system. And Jesus said, you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. God has a table, and devils have a table. The Bible speaks of the doctrine of devils, or the food of devils. And he said, you can't eat at their table and eat at my table.
So then, if you're eating at that table, you're going to be filled with the husk that the swine do eat. Well, Jesus called them swine that are without. You're going to be filled up, and you're not going to get anything from God. There won't be anything at all that you'll get from God because you're already filled up. You don't have any hunger and any thirst. And what you'll do when you get hungry and thirsty, instead of following after God and the good things of God, that old flesh will compel you to eat and drink till you shake it off, or sit under a TV show, or to read some filthy magazine or whatever, and then you'll be filled with the slop that the swine do eat. So then, what should we do, every one of you? Repent. That's the first thing. And then be baptized. You say, how? Peter said, here is water. Here is water. Be baptized for the remission of sin. 3,000 people went down into the water, and the first church got started. And the doctor said, I can't go. I'm important. God didn't mean that for professional men and important men. The dentist says, I can't go. And the doctor says, I can't go. And the golf player says, I can't go. And the dignified ones that would not adventure to set the sole of their foot upon the ground, they said, I can't go. He did not intend it for us celebrities, for the president and the king and the senators. But nevertheless, God himself made himself a human body and stepped down from the throne to a muddy river called the Jordan. I baptized in it when we were over in Israel. Stepped down into the muddy Jordan and said, I am God Almighty. I'm the greatest dignitary. I'm the greatest celebrity. I am richer than all of the millionaires put together. I am going to leave you an example. I'm going to be baptized in this muddy river. From here on out, Mr. Doctor and Dennis and celebrity and rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, whatever. When you come to me, I want you to come by the way of the water, by the washing of regeneration. I leave you an example. If I can take time out to do it, you had better take time out to do it. Therefore, I command every one of you, Peter said. So then, I love you tonight. I appreciate every one of you tonight. I love you. I tell you the truth. You can do what you will. Every man's a sovereignty. You've got your own life to live. One man can get an education and work hard, have plenty of security through life, and be grateful because he was wise, like the little ant to lay up in the summer for the winter. Another man can be foolish and squander away his goods and pay no attention to people that warn him. Keep going, and the first news you know, he's in bad trouble because he did what he wanted to do, therefore he must pay the price. For as a consequence of that, he has to reap what he sowed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We sang that song, let us sow the righteous seed for the reaping, for it's coming to each and every one. Then we can rejoice on that day when we hear Jesus say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won. Let's just slip our hands up for just a few minutes and talk to Jesus. Beloved friend, you that can hear my voice, let me encourage you that if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, then be baptized. Thousands, millions of people are being baptized in Jesus' name. At last, they're beginning to realize the error, and their eyes are becoming open. And in the evening time light, they're beginning to see. And in every denomination and in every walk of life, they're beginning to be baptized in Jesus' name. We've dealt with them in the full gospel businessmen. They're in their ranks. They're being baptized in Jesus' name. The people of the full gospel businessmen are being baptized in Jesus' name. We've dealt with them in the Baptist church, and the people in the Baptist church are beginning to be baptized in Jesus' name. And in the Methodist church, and in the Catholic church, and in the Christian church, or the Church of Christ, in the Church of Science, the one they call Christian Science, the ones in the Episcopalian churches, the ones in the Churches of God, and the ones in the Assemblies of God, the one in the Pentecostal Holiness churches, the one that's in the non-denominational churches, and in every denomination around the world, people are beginning to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Isn't that wonderful? Not a denomination under the sun, but what some of them are coming out and being baptized in Jesus' name. Not a people in all of the world of all races, but what some of them are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It's that great hour when people's eyes are beginning to come open. It's that great hour when you cannot hold people back anymore by scaring them and telling them that you'll turn them out of the synagogue. They don't care anymore. They're interested in their soul, and they realize that no man loves them. David said, I looked on my right and my left, and I saw no man that cared for my soul. And they're beginning to realize that Jesus cares for their soul. People will use you. Isn't that right? They will use you. They love money and use people, as it has been said, when it should be in the reverse. They should love people and use money. They don't care for your soul. But beloved friend, when you go to die, it is a horrible experience. I tell you again, the thing that was so stirring about the sister that passed away a few days ago, she looked up at my wife and she said to Betty, in essence, I'm dying. She said, in the sorrow of it all is I have not done anything for Jesus. Don't let that be your case. Don't be foolish. Don't let God burn your fields. Get a desire to work for Christ. You may say, well, I don't have any desire. You're never going to have any desire if you don't make an effort. As long as you keep your system filled up with the things of the world, how can you hunger and thirst? When you quit feeding off of the things of the world, friend, and you turn around and you make an effort toward the kingdom of God, I promise you, you'll have a hunger and thirst for the things of God. I want you to, while Brother Frank is playing that, I want us to sing a song tonight. Let's sing this little song, Sweep Over My Soul. And while we're singing tonight, I want you to come down here to the altar. Can you do that? Can you sing it with me? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it with me now? For we have anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep. But in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it one more time now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Lift your hands up and tell Jesus you love Him. Take just a few minutes for your soul. Be sincere tonight. Be sincere tonight. I remember praying one time down in LaGrange, Georgia. Was there in the church all day long by myself, calling on the name of Jesus, fasting and praying. And I heard the Lord say to me, I want my people to be sincere. My people are not sincere. You know, when you go to ball games and the frolics of the world and watch TV and mix all kind of darkness with light, you're not being sincere with God. Death is not a reality to you. You don't realize the seriousness of withdrawing and mortifying the deeds of the body. You're not serious with God. But God wants you to be serious. When you're trying to make money and you got your mind on yourself and on your business, you're not sincere with God. You're sincere with God when you deny yourself and when you think more of others than you do yourself. When you look on the things of the others rather than on the things of yourself. And when you're seeking the welfare of the hungry, of the orphans and the widows and the needy, and those that cannot help themselves, that's when you're sincere. You're sincere when down deep in your heart, the very deepest thought and motive and feeling and reflect that you can find, when you are sincere down deep in your heart to that extent, you will be right. You will want to be holy, virtuous, pure, godly, clean, upright. You'll want to think every thought right. If you think one thought wrong, then you're not sincere with God. You have a personal motive and you're still evil. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought. Every thought. Have you got every thought in subjection tonight? Is there one thought in your mind tonight that is not in harmony with the Word of God and with the way of God and the preaching of God and the love of God and the cleanliness and pureness of God? Is there one thought that's in your life, a heart tonight, that is not completely surrendered to God? If there is, then you're not right with God. If you have one thought tonight in your mind and heart that you've not surrendered up, that means you do not have the Holy Ghost. That means you do not have eternal life. You cannot have eternal life and have the gift of the Holy Ghost and have one thought in your mind that is wrong. Not one thought. But if you're making your effort tonight to be clean and holy and godly, down to the very fine line of your motive and desire, down to every thought, to where you've cast every thought down, to where you've cast your imagination down, to where you're looking solely unto Jesus Christ for strength, then you have a chance for eternal life. But until you do that, you don't have eternal life. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to search your heart. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith tonight. You're a wonderful bunch of people, a wonderful group of people. But folks, you're going to have the Holy Ghost to make it into the kingdom of God. You're going to have the Holy Ghost to enter into that wonderful presence of Jesus. You're going to have to be sincere from the bottom of your soul. Tonight I'm your minister. I've ministered to you many, many sermons, hundreds of sermons I've ministered to you. I've told you the truth. Thousands upon thousands of words I have spoken to you. But with all of this, if I have one thought in my mind and in my heart that isn't right and surrendered to God or laid aside for Jesus, it means that I'll be lost. Paul said, I keep unto my body and I bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. So then tonight, you can become a castaway and be religious all your life. I can preach all my life and become a castaway. But you know what? Tonight, God being my helper, I don't intend to be a castaway. I intend to preach the gospel. I intend to live the gospel. They that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I intend to live of the gospel and preach the gospel around the world. I intend to be clean and holy, godly and upright. Not that it will do me any good of my own ability, but it will make me to find favor in His eyes in the sense of my efforts and my trying. And then the blood of Jesus Christ will atone for me and take away my sins. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love Him.
I love Him. I love Him. All because Jesus first loved me, and He purchased mine salvation on Calvary's tree.
Sing it again now.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All because that you first loved me, and you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Now, do you really love Jesus? Let's sing it one more time if you really love Him. And tonight, if you haven't surrendered your heart to God, I want you to surrender your heart to God tonight. I want you to make a divine surrender tonight. Make that commitment. And if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, then let me encourage you to do it. You know, I tell you the truth from my heart, I lie not. If I myself was not baptized in Jesus' name, you know what I would do? As far as I know right now, knowing what I know, I would go immediately tonight and I'd be baptized in the name of the Son of God for the remission of sin. That's how important I believe it is. One more time together now. Think it all over.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All because that you first loved me, and you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Can you bow your heads now with me? Have you really called upon the name of Jesus? Have you really asked of Jesus? Do you really want to go to heaven? You know, faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. Faith by the hearing of the Word of God. Show me your faith. Show me your faith without doing what God commanded you to do. Prove to me that you've got faith in that you have not done what He told you to do in the Holy Scriptures, in conforming to the way of His Son and the love of His Son and the Spirit of His Son, and honoring Him by being baptized in His name as a public testimony that you believe in His Son. Show me your faith without doing those things. It is impossible for you to do it. For what you believe, you practice. The writer said, I'll show you what I believe by letting you know the things that I have done. That He said it, I done it. That proves that I believe in it. By grace through faith are you saved. The grace of God through the shedding of the blood of His own Son. And through the faith of your own heart, as you believe in that blood, to the extent that you are to repent of all of your sins and being godly sorrowful for your past and be baptized in water in the name of His lovely Son for the remission of sin. This is the proof that you believe. This is faith. And that is the only faith that can save you. Just believing cannot save you. You believe, devils believe too. But believing is not faith. Honoring the Word of God and believing in the Word of God is faith. Believing in the Word of God is faith. Just believing you're going to heaven is not faith. Just believing that you are saved, it does not mean that you are saved. Though you might have made a confession, though you might have stood before the minister, though you might have come to the house of God, though you might belong to the church, though you might have supported it all of your life, that doesn't mean that you are saved. Believing doesn't mean that you're saved. But faith is when you believe in the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. Faith don't come by what somebody said. And believing is not faith. He said faith is believing in the Word. Faith cometh to you. Not by anything that's said, any conversation. Faith cometh to you when a man speaks God's word. Because faith is believing in that word. And believing in that word, to prove that, is that you do what that word tells you. That is faith unto salvation. Have ye been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you were baptized? If you're baptized in Jesus' name, folks, and you're honest from the bottom of your heart and you did it because you wanted to go to heaven and wanted to be clean and upright, I promise you that not one person that's ever done it will be left out of the kingdom of God or fail to get the Holy Ghost. Not one person. But if you just be baptized because somebody told you to be baptized, and you don't hear the Word of God, and you don't believe the Word of God, then you're not apt to receive anything, but just a hard way to go. So then, let me exhort you to repent. Be baptized. While we've got our heads bowed, our eyes closed, our heads and hearts bowed, I want you to examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. See if you be in the faith tonight. Examine your heart. The Bible said, examine your heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh on your heart. God looks on your heart. While your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, your hearts are bowed before God. I want Brother Joseph to come up here a few minutes tonight, if he will. You know, God is doing a great thing. A great thing. I watched our foundational chart. I was standing looking at it the other night. And I noticed that somebody was putting beautiful colors on that chart. All of the colors of the foundation. And I kept watching.
And then it dawned on me that it was Joseph that was putting those colors on. Joseph's coat of many colors. You've heard of a coat of arms? Joseph's coat of many colors. I saw that he was the one that was putting those foundational colors on that chart. And I thought, Brother Branham's sons, the Baptist woman, the Pentecostal woman, Joseph, my son, thou art a prophet. This move, this last move of the revelation, being that wonderful spirit of Joseph, the foundations, even as they were laid, he said, I shall lay thy foundations with fair colors, beautiful colors. And I watched at those as he laid those beautiful colors, Joseph. And I noticed that when he got over to the end, you know, Joseph rejected by the brethren. You remember, he became the cornerstone. And down through the years, out of all of the tribes and the races, you remember how that the black man was rejected. The Lord used the type. And he brought him up and he made him rich and great in this last day to show the type. A lot of them are exceedingly rich, fabulously rich now. And I looked over at the end of the chart, and there was, being across the chart, 12 brethren, one lined up behind another, as 12 chiefs. So not a whit behind the chiefest apostle. And I looked, and over on the end, the chief that was on the end was Brother Hollis. Brother Hollis was the chief at the end. All the others, 11, led up to the end where Brother Hollis was the chief. And I looked and I found myself searching for the purple that was to go over that particular governor and chief. Or not the governor, but the chief. And who is the governor, of course, over the foundations. It's under the 7 governors. I noticed that out of all of them, here I find myself searching with Joseph for the purple one. And it never dawned on me. I just offered my assistance because Joseph was having trouble. And then as I began to search for that purple one, I picked up a little book of colors. It had 8 stars on it, holes cut through the cover where the colors in the book showed through the star. And I saw 8 stars, and one of them was a purple star. And as I looked at that star, I heard something say, I've got you searching because this is the color of your birthstone. And it hadn't even dawned on me. Having to do with the change when the angel came to us in Florida. The ring, where is the stone of thy birth? I said, I don't know. He said, I shall get thee one. He said, these stars, see these stars? Don't you remember Joseph's dream where the other 11 denovicents? And I looked and I thought, you know, Joseph, we've got to use this purple out of this book. And Brother Joseph said, there's just not enough of it, Brother Pike. I said, well, maybe we put it away and we left it and we never could find nothing and we came back to it. So Joseph said, well, I'll use it as much as I can. I said, well, must be a way somehow or another. So Joseph took it, and as he took the purple, I don't know whether he realized it or not, but he took the purple to put over the last name of every triplet across there. And when he put the purple on there, he looked, and it was his own name, Joseph. So then we took the purple, and he put the purple on the triplets, and God worked it out to where there was enough, and he put it over the chief.
And then I heard that say, concerning Brother Branham's Joseph, my son Joseph, thou art a prophet. And so then God, causing Joseph to put the colors of this foundation to show that this really is the Joseph move, in that I will lay thy foundations with fair colors, showing that it really is what we understood of it, and it has to do with Brother Branham. Has to do with the Jewish people. Brother Hollis, the Bible said that the Jews shall be made the head of the nation, showing it in that time. It is so wonderful the way that God does things. And I saw some wonderful things take place today. Every day is a wonderful day to me. I feast every day. I feast every day. It is an abundance of joy and jubilance to me. I feast every day. I want you to lift your hands up one more time. Can you do it? Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you want something from Jesus tonight? While Joseph comes tonight, I don't know, this may not be the first time I ever called him up, but it's for sure it's a good time. Calling Joseph up tonight, I felt sure, you know, that Sister Betty's body, having to do, as I said the other night, with the Betty that's in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, Sister Betty that is here, and that one from Tennessee. I felt sure that something would happen. I told them that there'd be problems till everything got just the way the Lord wanted it. Had to do with the Louisiana purchase, the redemption of the body, taking it, as we understand, over to Bethany, which was the resurrection of Lazarus, the coming forth of a new day from the sleep. And sure enough, before the thing got finished, Brother Conrad had to call to Louisiana, down where Brother Jameson is, where Brother Carnes is fixing to have the revival. Had to call down there and get an undertaker to contact Atlanta, Georgia, that we would get another undertaker out of Atlanta, Georgia, to take it out of the hands of the people that was contrary here in Monroe. It really tore them up when we done it, you know. But they were contrary, so we just changed it around, God having to do with it. Brother Conrad, I had given Brother Conrad a buckle that Brother Bennett had given me with a dove on it. And it was beautiful, the redemption of the body and that spirit, calling down there, going over to do what he could. He went and bought him another belt for it, and I looked, and the belt had the bird, the phoenix. It has to do with Phoenix, Arizona, and it brought all of those things right into the picture so beautifully. And even, I suppose, the Betty that sent the flowers. They've got a shop, you know, where they get the flowers. And I thought it was really something, the way that it all tied together with the redemption of the body, showing Bethany and the resurrection. He that heareth my voice shall live. Lazarus, come forth, he said. And it was so beautiful, everything. If we just had time to preach a sermon on it tonight and detail it, bring in some beautiful things that's taking place. Let's just close our eyes, lift our hands. I'm going to ask Joseph to come if he will. Pray with you. Will you come, Joseph, and pray?